InvestTalk will begin in just a moment, made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And each month, Steve meets with a limited number of our listeners to review their retirement portfolios. Here's someone who offers some reflections on the process. Can I ask you, how did you think of your own portfolio at that point?
I would say my portfolio was a mess. It was more like a collection of leftovers. All I know is that it wasn't really growing, and I didn't know where to begin to fix it.
You can meet with Steve from anywhere in the USA via Skype or telephone. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then portfolio review. End of commercial, and now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is the end of the week, and it is Christmas weekend, December 23rd. I appreciate you being with me. And of course, we're all about above average investing for the average investor. And we're here every weekday, Monday through Friday, to answer your money questions and maybe give you some perspective. And as we get deeper into the holiday season, Justin Klein and I want to wish you a happy holiday season. Merry Christmas to everybody. And we hope it's really rich in family, because that's what it's really about. Family getting together, you know, enjoying your family. And sometimes I know there's stressful times, but still, they're your family. And, you know, you should appreciate that. And today, since we all like to have a little more money in this time of year, we're going to talk about being rich. I love being rich. Why don't we talk about being rich? That's great. Studying the habits of the rich is not a bad idea. It doesn't matter if it's inherited or it's earned. Many of the rich stay rich. So the talking point is going to be 6 reasons rich people stay rich. So that's what we're going to discuss. It's one of them anyways. And being Friday, our weekly PMA newsletter went out today. It goes out every Friday. It's e-newsletter. So what's in it? Well, I start out, as always, with the market commentary. And I mentioned the week was fairly quiet. Markets would be. It's going to be quiet probably next week, too, because of the holidays, you know, Christmas and New Year's. And, you know, maybe the market's taking a pause for another run-up, or is it taking a pause to get back some of the gains? And no one really knows. There's no crystal ball here. So that's what we talk about. Talk about the jobless claims, a leading economic indicator report that came out, and it was flat, zero. And it's been coming down in recent months. And that's not a good thing. But other economic numbers are good. So what is the market trying to tell us? What is the economy trying to tell us? It's hard to figure out, but it looks like we're still on an upswing in the economy to me. I had a couple of stock ideas in there, and we mentioned how to protect your portfolio or how to try to make money on the downside. The market falls. Can you make money? Yes, you can. It's more difficult, by the way. Not less difficult, more difficult. But we give you a couple of ETFs that what we call short the market, if you know what that means. That means they go up and the market goes down. Portfolio management section talked about the large swings the markets makes over 20 years or more. And there's waves up and down, but generally up, but always up and down. And how do you recognize those? And how, you know, it's kind of important that you try to figure that out. Consumer Watch was all about coping the best holiday season, about the stressful times that we're in. Always Christmas shopping is stressful for a lot of people. We talk, so we'll go into that. So what? That's our premium newsletter, everybody. It comes out every week. If you want to sign up for it, just go to investtalk.com. It's about $10 a month. So what money matter is on your mind today? Let's talk about it. As always, we're up for any money questions that you want to talk about here on Invest Talk. So let's begin the Q&A. Let's go to our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, this is Jim from Indiana. I heard you guys talking about closed-end and open-end funds trading at closed-end funds, particularly trading at a premium or a discount. And I was wondering, how do you tell whether or not it's trading at a premium or a discount? Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
You cannot tell, and this is what we talked about yesterday, closed-end funds. You cannot tell by looking at the price. You cannot tell. What you have to do is you have to do a little bit of research. And you can find it on almost any of the financial websites. But you look up the particular closed-end fund, we're using this symbol, and it will tell you almost all of them, whether it's... And the easiest way for me, and the way I do it, is I go to Morningstar, morningstar.com. And it tells you how much percent is selling at a premium or a discount. And that's how you look it up. Okay, but it's important to know, you want to buy closed-end funds at a discount, obviously. You want to buy things on bargain, don't you? Don't everybody? Sure. You don't want to buy them at a premium. Why not just buy the individual stocks rather than the premium of those individual stocks held in a closed-end fund? Well, there's a reason maybe you don't have enough money to buy all the individual stocks. I understand that, but it just doesn't make sense. So what money managers do you really want to talk about today? I'd love to talk about, okay, how about, well, let's go to Larry in Oakland first. How you doing, Larry? What's going on?
Larry? Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Larry.
I have a question regarding dividends. Mm-hmm. The S&P overall has a 20-year, a 2% dividend.
Yes.
And this quarter, the fourth quarter, it has raised up, and it appears to be 3.5%. Can you tell me what the percentage is on the S&P?
I really can't, but it's not even close to 3.5%. It's not. It's more.
All right. It's up substantially. Do you know what the percentage is?
Okay, and it's about 2.5% the last time I looked, a few weeks ago, a month ago or so. It's about 2.5%, and it doesn't go up that fast. It does not. It goes up.
Okay, you understand the 0.5% compared to 2 is a quarter. It's 25%.
Wherever you're finding these numbers, it's not accurate because it's been about 2.5% for some time, and it's been slowly going up.
But when it goes up, does it go up for at least a minimum of 1 year?
It goes up. It has been going up every quarter, but very small increments.
Okay. The percentage is not standard for a certain period.
No, it's not, because it's dependent on the price. Remember, it's dependent on the price of the index or price of the stock. As that goes up, the dividend is paid out in dollars, not percentages. So on the S&P 500, the dividend could be $10 billion. I don't know, whatever it is. But think of it this way. If it was an individual stock, say the S&P was an individual stock and it was trading for $10 a share, and they paid a $1 dividend, that would be 10%, correct? $1
yeah.
And $10. Now let's say the price of the shares went up to $20, but they're still only paying $1 dividend. Now the dividend is only 5%. Dividend yield is only 5%. See, it depends. It depends on how much they raise the dividend and how much the price of the stocks go up and down. And recently, stocks have been going up, so the dividend yield percentage will probably go down a little bit in the fourth quarter.
That's interesting. I appreciate that. That helps me understand it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Larry. Appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, so you got to remember, the dividend express is always paid in dollars, but most time when we talk about dividends, we talk about them in percentage. But the dollar doesn't change. The dollar amount changes. It can change from quarter to quarter because the board of directors of the companies can decide to pay more, and they have been deciding to pay more in this year. But now that the stock prices have really moved up, I don't know if that really will reflect in the fourth quarter of a higher dividend yield or percentage. Okay? 6 reasons the rich stay rich. That's one of our talking points today. I'm also going to talk about could the tax cuts that Trump is suggesting offset the mortgage rate rise? Goldman Sachs took a look at that. We'll talk about that. And I want to talk about the volatility we're going to see in 2017. I've touched on it this week and last week, but I really want to talk about it a little bit more, if we don't mind. I want you to get prepared. I want you to understand how it could happen and why it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. But no, I don't really know that for a fact, everybody. But I got some pretty good evidence that should justify more volatility, and I want to talk about it. And time is running out to do financial engineering before the end of the year. Try to, you know, do some tax planning. Still got to do it before the end of the year. Those are things we're going to talk about, hopefully. The Dow was up 15, the Nasdaq was up 15, and the S&P was up 3. It was kind of down to flat most of the day. Nothing really major up or down, but it ended up being up a little on the positive side for today after 2 days being a little bit on the downside. Not much happening. This is InvestTalk. Remember, we're not all about stocks or bonds. Bring your money questions to me. What about end-of-the-year tax ideas? We're going to discuss it on one of my talking points. I think we should talk about it. Really think it's important. We only got a week. 888-99-CHART. That's our InvestTalk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener line number. Chart 888-992-4278. Six reasons the rich stay rich. Okay, if you really are rich and you want to be rich, what you have to do is be an interest earner as opposed to an interest payer. Okay, so there's a point that you have to get to be able to live off your money instead of just your labor. So the rich, how they do that? Well, one way they stay rich is they avoid get-rich-quick schemes. There is no such things. Anybody that tells you can get rich quick, they're lying. You can't get rich quick. You can get rich slow. You can get rich with a lot of hard work. You can get rich because you get lucky, but that hardly ever happens. So they avoid getting people convincing them to give them their money to get rich quick. They don't mess with that kind of stuff. They make retirement savings a priority. Even if they're rich, they still plan their money out, especially in retirement. How to save it, how to pass it on to the next generation. They always consider taxes when they're investing or buying a company. Whatever they're doing, they consider the taxes. They like to be, defer taxes if they can. Use some kind. Think about Trump and his tax situation. They build multiple sources of income, and that's what I'm referring to when I say you need to be an interest receiver, not an interest payer. You don't want to pay other people interest by borrowing money. You want them to pay you interest for use of your money, but make sure it's safe use of your money. And they do leverage debt to their advantage. Don't think they don't use it, debt. They do, but they use it smartly. And almost all the time, the rich have really robust financial plans. Now, you may not have enough assets to have that kind of thing, a robust financial plan, but how about having one, period? Talk to your CPA, come up with a plan. Those are some of the things they do. They stay rich. They don't do crazy things. They don't. I've been around a number of them, and I see how they make it. They do different things. It's interesting. It's very interesting. 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? What is financially interesting to you? I think the new Trump president is financially interesting to me. He's going to do things. I mean, we haven't had this kind of a president, and I can't remember. I cannot remember. A non-politician being president. That's never happened in my lifetime. They've all been politicians, lifetime politicians. I think this is going to be fascinating. Financially, how is he going to do this? Don't you think that's interesting? I mean, I know people are already saying, oh, he's going to kill us. It's going to be terrible. I don't know if that's true or not. That's all speculative. We'll see. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, everybody. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART, and that's how you can get through right now.
Hi, guys. This is Gary from Massachusetts. I listen to your show by podcast, And before I ask my question, I'd just like to say it's probably the best financial podcast that I listen to. And my question today is on Abbott Laboratories, ABT. I'd like to know what you think of the valuation at this point. Have a great day. Bye.
Okay, Abbott Laboratories, it's a big cap company, a mega cap, $56 billion in size, developed generic pharmaceuticals, diagnostic systems, and I believe we talked about it yesterday. I know someone emailed me about it today, so I'm pretty familiar with it. And the question is it overvalued? It's not overvalued. It's not undervalued. It's pretty much right at value. They're going to make $2.42 next year and a $38.42 stock. Pays 2.8% dividend. It's growing sales about 3% a quarter, 3 to 10% income increases, in earnings increase. So it's a good, solid company with not a lot of debt. So it's a really good company. It has a lot of support, about 36, 36.50, and it's at 38.42. So this is probably a good place to pick it up in this area is where you'd want to be a buyer of it. But don't expect, you know, fireworks or excitement. It's probably going to go back up to the low 40s. Come back down, go back up. Don't expect, you know, long term it'll go up. But this is one of those big blue chip stocks you hold on to because it pays a decent dividend of 2.8%. And over the long haul, you should get 2 to 3% growth and price appreciation. But don't expect excitement. But it's a good, solid company. ABT is a symbol, Abbott Laboratories. 888-99-CHART. So could the tax cuts that Trump is suggesting offset the mortgage rate rise? Because the mortgage rates have already increased. And, you know, a big part of our economy is the housing part. And the big worry is that since the Fed raised rates, mortgage rates have gone up. And since the dollar's getting stronger, things, you know, the issue is housing still going to do well in 2017? Now, I think it will slow down, but it's not going to collapse. And I do think if there's any reduction in middle class tax, income tax, that will help offset the increase in interest rates. But if the interest rates keep going up, it will eventually kill the housing market. It'll stop it. It'll start to fall again. And remember, you need about 33% of your disposal income to pay the mortgage. So if the price of the house goes up, or interest rates go up, or both of them go up, you have to buy a smaller and smaller house because that's what you can afford. And of course, the banks at some point, like they did in 2008, will probably go back to trying to convince you that you can afford a bigger house than you really can afford. And you got to be very, very careful of that, because we don't want to go through what we went through again in 2008 with the housing imploding. Now, I'll tell you this. In California, the housing goes through cycles, and it does collapse every so often. But the rest of the country is not that way. Not all of it. There's some spots, but California is probably the most, we'll call it the most dynamic as far as prices going up and down. But generally on the upside, not the downside. Let's go to Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I was hoping if you can look at this company called Universal Display Corp. Symbol is OLED.
Okay. Universal
Display. And I was hoping.
You bought it? You own it?
Yeah, I bought some today.
Okay. Okay, let's take a look at it. Designs organic light-emitting diode devices for flat panel displays used in the consumer electronics market. It's out of New Jersey. Interesting. Usually when I read these kinds of companies, I assume they're out of Asia somewhere, but this one is not. Okay, so it has been making money ever since 2011, and their earnings have been going up every year, except for this year. They went down about 5 cents a share to 89 cents a share. But next year, they're going to return big time and say they're going to make $1.35 next year per share. That's a big jump. Big jump. So it's a $57 stock. Well, at $1.35, that's still 45, 50 PE range. So, Mike, it's expensive. And I'm not convinced it should get that kind of expense, because sales fell 23% in the most recent quarter, up 11% the quarter before that, fell 5% the quarter before that, up 11% the quarter before that. So sales have been very erratic quarter to quarter. And usually you do not reward a company, this is a $2.7 billion company, you do not reward a company with really high PEs when their sales are so erratic. And I'm not sure why it is at this high PE, because it's not growing fast enough. I would stay away from it.
Chart is concerned, do you see a support and resistance that you suggest?
Yes, there's a lot of resistance around $70, $71 a share. Remember, it's at $57.95. And a lot of resistance, there's resistance both at $48, $49 a share, and then a lot more comes in around $42. Remember, it's $55. Okay?
Good enough. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. OLED is a symbol, Universal Display. We're heading to the second part of our Friday afternoon Invest Talk. Plenty of time for you to get your questions in. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday, 888-992-4278.
We thank you for subscribing to the podcast. There's really no good reason not to sign up for our Invest Talk Insiders program. One reason to join is our long list of lists. One of them is our Dividend Growth Watch List. Many investors today are chasing yield, but in a rising rate environment, high-yielding stocks tend to suffer. Here are 10 names that have a long track record of dividend growth. Sign up and have access to them instantly, right now on investtalk.com. You're listening to Invest Talk for Friday, December 23rd. The Great Rotation, bond money pouring back into equities. That's one of our topics next time. But right now, your talking point comes first, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Chris in Oakland. How are you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Oh, I just want to say I appreciate your show.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for all the input.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, my question is, what's your opinion about Bank of America, Sprint, and Under Armour?
You're going to have to pick one. Pick one of those, and I can look them up for you.
Okay, I just bought Under Armour, so what do you think about that?
Okay, did you buy UA or UAA? There's two stock symbols for Under Armour.
Yeah, I bought the UA.
Okay. And the reason I'm going to tell everybody else, the reason there's two stock symbols, everybody, because there's two classes of stock, and UA is one class, and it's the C class, and UAA is another. And the only difference is basically voting rights. One has voting rights, one doesn't. So, but they trade at different prices and different, you know, different PEs and things, so you got to make sure which one you're dealing with. Okay, and UA, of course, Under Armour is an $11 billion company, so it's a big company, growing very fast in the 25 sales growth, and 11 to 15% in earnings growth. So that's one of the reasons why, even though the stock's gone down, Chris, it's still pretty expensive.
Yeah.
It's still pretty expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yep, because it deserves to be expensive. That's why, because of the growth is so good and earnings are so good, it's constantly been able to grow and constantly increasing its earnings all the time. So investors kind of bid it up and think it's worth more, and it actually is. Current PE is about 44, and the five-year range is 41 to 89, and that's a very high range because the S&P 500 is about 15 to 18 range, okay?
Okay.
And this one is 41 to 89. So you're going to have to pay for it. You're going to have to pay up for Under Armour. You're going to have to pay the high price if you want it. And I'll say this.
Okay.
It looks like support is coming in right around $24.50, the $25, and it's at $25.23. This might be your opportunity, but just realize you're taking more risk with this one, Chris.
I bought it at $25.
Okay. It's a good solid company. And if they can keep their growth up, it should go back up to the 40s. It should.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in there for the long term, so
okay.
Hopefully you're right.
Yeah, it long term, I think okay. It will work. They, you know, unless someone comes along and makes better stuff than theirs, because they have a pretty good reputation out there. So, Chris, thanks for the call. Thank you. Let's talk to Will in San Diego. How are you doing, Will?
Oh, pretty good, Steve. I've got a question regarding REITs in general.
Okay.
And that I've been looking at a number of them, and they all seem to have pretty high PE.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, what's are they over? Does that mean they're overvalued?
Yeah, they have been for some time. In general, we're talking about in general until we get to the one you want to specifically talk about. And the reason being, because interest rates are very low, and that helps REITs. Because they do a lot of borrowing to buy properties or whatever it is they're doing, or refinance the properties they already bought. And so that cost has been very, very low. So they've been kind of expensive because of that.
Oh, I see. So I'm thinking, I'm looking at ticker symbol O, and mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it now is a good time to get in, or should I wait a little longer?
Okay, O is one of the better real estate REITs out there, everybody. REIT is Real Estate Investment Trust. And this is called Realty Income Corporation, symbol O. It's a REIT that acquires retail properties leased to regional and national retail chain operators located in 49 states. It's one of the better-run REITs. It's been around a while. Their earnings have been going up pretty steadily, and so has their sales. So it's done pretty well over these. So it is a 20 PE. And the lowest P in the last 5 years has been 15. So, and they do borrow money. Don't think they don't. But they don't have as much debt as other REITs do. They're going to make.
Okay.
So it is a good REIT. But I'll warn you, REITs will probably struggle if interest rates rise. And we've had some increase in rates. But I don't think you need to avoid all REITs. I just think you've got to have your eyes open that, as we talked to, and when we first started talking, that most REITs are overpriced. So you're going to have to live on that yield. They pay 4.3%. And I don't think that's going to go down. I think that's good, solid number. Good, solid number.
But is now a good time to be buying this? Or if you're saying interest rates are going to go up, maybe the price is going to go down in the
Yeah, but look what it's already done. In August, it was at $70 a share. Today, it's at 56. So maybe it's already come down. See, that's what
I'm
thinking.
Maybe I can just start nibbling at it.
That's what I would suggest. A nibble, it would be good at this point, Will.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot, and have a happy Christmas and New Year.
Thank you. Appreciate you, too. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, now what's 2017 going to bring us? I think it's going to bring us, in the stock market, more volatility. And I've mentioned this already. We've seen volatility in 2016 only at the beginning of the year, which was January, and at the end of the year, last month or two, since the election. During the whole in-between time, been very, very low volatility. And even this run-up we've had, we've not had any huge spikes in stock prices, really. One day, 2 days, right after the election, and that's about it. Then it's been a much more steady run-up. But I think 2017 has the hallmarks of all the possibilities of more spikes up and down. Volatility, in other words. Don't think of volatility as always bad. It's not. Gives you opportunities to buy stocks and cheap if the market pulls down. So it's not all bad. Volatility is just something you have to understand and live with. And why do I think there's going to be volatility? Well, one reason is the market has been going up so strongly, and it is clearly overvalued. And anything Trump does for the economy is not going to affect the economy anytime soon. So corporations aren't going to all of a sudden start making a lot more money because of something that Trump did. It's going to take a little while to filter in. So prices are going to still be very high. And what you're going to see is, this is what I think we might see at the beginning of the year, we might see some profit taking right in January because of all the huge run-up we've had in the last couple of months. Profit taking means sells. But at the same time, as the market comes down, if it does, it's going to attract buyers in who missed the run and have sitting on cash. We also have a lot of cash people leaving the bond funds. We have a lot of cash coming in from Europe because of our strong dollar, and Asia because of our strong dollar. So there's a lot of cash sitting around looking for a place, looking for a home. And anytime I think we're going to see some weakness coming to market, we're going to see money come in. So I can't see a strong correction. I would like to see a strong correction if you want to know the truth. I just don't know if we're going to get it. Strong correction means more than 10%. Maybe 15%. That's just hard for me. Something else has to be a catalyst for that to happen. But we're going to see more volatility in the new year. When you sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider, you get instant access to some very useful lists. For example, our REIT list, Real Estate Investment Trust list. It's a brief list of real estate investment trusts that should be on your radar, your watch list, if you're looking for exposure in that area. Everybody loves dividends. Again, the Insider Program is free to sign, and so you sign up when you're ready. You can do it anytime you want on InvestTalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Maybe next week would be the perfect time to get your financial strategy assembled before the new year. Well, Steve has set aside some time to speak with a limited number of our listeners about their specific retirement portfolio. It's a free service, no obligation of any kind. If you're not near our California offices, Steve can meet with you via Skype or telephone from anywhere in the U.S. It's easy. If you'd like to set up that time, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering how you should diversify when you have a variety of different accounts. I understand that if you have a tax-deferred 401k or IRA, you do your more heavy trading in that account. Which account would it make more sense to put something like large dividend-paying stocks into? Thank you very much.
Well, if you're going to do a trading, you want to do it in your 401ks or IRAs. If you're just going to sit on stocks, it'd be better and collect the dividends. You'd be better in your taxable accounts. I'm sorry, because there's a down point to that too, because all that income is added to your income. You're gonna have to pay tax on that, depending on your tax bracket and so on and so forth, what that would be. But I would prefer, if you're going to do trading, you want to do it in your non-taxable accounts, your IRAs and 401ks. If you want to buy dividend-paying stocks, there's a reason to put that in your IRAs and 401ks because you never have to pay taxes on it. But if you have, it depends on where your money is. Where is your money? Is your money in taxable or non-taxable? Do you have a equal split? And are you going to be an active trader? There's a lot of questions to answer before you can really make that decision. But in general, the higher trading account you're using to trade a lot, it would be in your IRAs and 401ks. The stocks you don't plan on trading, put it in your taxable accounts in general. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, the time is running out to do financial things before the end of the year for tax purposes. For instance, if you didn't max out your 401k and you need the tax write-off, you got to do it by next week. Remember, you can put $18,000 away in your 401k, and if you're over 50, you can put $24,000 away. And that's deducted from your adjusted gross income, so you don't have to pay taxes on it. So you kind of want to do that, don't you? Also, you only got a week before you're out of tax loss harvesting is out, gone. If you have tax losses, or you have capital gains and you need capital losses to offset it, or you just want to offset $3,000 of capital losses against ordinary income, you have to take those losses. Yeah. In other words, you have to sell the positions and realize those losses next week, last week of the year. After that, It goes into the next tax year. And finally, if you're going to give to a charity, do it before the end of the year. Don't forget to do it. Do it before the end of the year. And those are some of the things you should do. There's really not a lot of other things you can do, but those are things you could do to avoid taxes. And if your employer is matching in 401k, you better make sure you're getting all that match. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. Let's go ahead and take another caller.
Well, my question is this. Retail investors seem to be exposed to all kinds of information about how to outsmart and beat the market. Do you feel that, you know, in general, that you just using modern portfolio theory and asset allocation is perhaps the best way for most retail investors to invest? Thank you.
Yes, I do. I think it's very difficult to try to manage your own portfolio. Number one, you don't have the time. Number two, you don't have the tools. You don't have that data that's always coming out that we get. So it's very difficult for a retail investor to try to outperform anybody, including the market. It's very difficult. It doesn't mean you shouldn't, you can't buy stocks that you like. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying managing a portfolio of stocks and consistently trying to grow it is very difficult for the average person because you don't have the time and you don't have the tools. Now, if you have the interest, I'm also very convinced that you can learn how to do it because it's not rocket science. You can. But most people probably need help from my experience. And that's what I'm here for. I don't mind teaching. I want to teach. I want people to learn how to do this. I certainly want them to learn enough information to ask questions of people who do manage their money. But I know back in my head that they probably don't have time or the tools, or they don't want to spend the money to get the tools because it's expensive, and then learn how to do it. Remember, my crew and me, we do it all day long. You know, and we're just, think of all the other people you're competing with. Now, if you have a 401k, we do have, some help for people called My 401k. It's software that picks your funds for you and updates your fund picking every quarter with emails and what to change. You know, maybe that's something that you could utilize. It's like $20 a month. It's not a lot of money, but it helps you pick and manage your own 401k depending on how much risk you have and what your choices are. It's a pretty neat little tool. You're listening to Invest Talk. We're glad you're with us today. The invitation is always open for a call, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 888-99-CHART is our anytime listener line. Time for Invest Talk 101, everybody. We're going to talk about consolidating retirement funds. And we're really talking about rolling over your old 401ks into an IRA. And there's very good reasons to do it. One is, did you know that every retirement account that you have, Roth IRA, regular IRA, 401k, every one of them has an annual cost to them? So if you consolidate them into one IRA, and I'm not talking about consolidate Roth into a regular IRA or a regular IRA into a Roth. You're going to have to keep those two separate. But I am talking about rolling your old 401ks from old employers into an IRA. When you consolidate them, now you only have to pay one annual fee. That's one benefit. Another is a lot of people lose track of their old 401ks. They lose track of the passwords to take a look at their account. They don't know what they're doing with them. Some people even forget they even have them. But if you keep it focused and keep it all in one IRA, that won't happen. There was a study recently done about nearly half of the people in the United States, when they leave their old employer, cash out their 401k. They take the money. When you do that, you're going to have to pay income tax on it, and if you're not old enough, you're going to have to pay a penalty. Penalty and tax. That makes no sense. Roll it over into an IRA. Don't withdraw it. Don't. That makes no sense. Financially, that's a bad decision. That's Invest Talk 101. Questions about rollovers or any other matter, you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART, or you can send me an email. Be happy to do that. Just go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Steve, and ask me a question. Let's try it.
My name is John. I'm from Mission Viejo, and I listen to you on the podcast, and I really enjoy it. And my question is, what do you think about IBM? What's a good time to sell? What's a good time to buy it? And what is your current value? Thank you. Bye.
IBM is one of those big old blue chip companies, international business machines, $158 billion company. It's huge, right? Now, for 8 quarters in a row, sales have been going down, down, down. And most recent quarter, they finally stopped falling. Didn't grow, but stopped falling. It's trading at $166 a share. They're going to make $13.90 next year. Okay, well, that means the PE is right around 11, right? Not too expensive. 3.4% dividend. Well, it's not going to be very expensive, and it shouldn't be very expensive because it doesn't have much growth in sales. So you want to buy when it's cheap. Now IBM has been moving up recently with the market. I think it would be a great buy if you let it pull back down back into the low or mid 140s. That's where I would think about picking it up, not here after it's been had a good run. The five-year range for them on a PE ratio is 8 to 15. So based on next year's earnings of 11, it's still not at that cheap range for this particular stock. It's a very solid company, 112% return on equity. You can't get much higher than that. Huge cash flow, $19 a share. You know, it does have more debt than I'm comfortable with, but you buy this stock when it's on sale. Best time to buy IBM is in a recession. That's what I think, anyways. So what did the market do this week? It's kind of boring, wasn't it? But it wasn't up week. And you realize that it's been like 6 weeks in a row that the market has been up. Pretty impressive. Now, I will say this. We've seen a lot less activity this week. In other words, it might be up, but it's not up by a lot because it's Christmas week, you know, the holiday week going into next week. And then until next week, we're going to have a short week, only 4 trading days. And then the week after that, New Year's week, we only have a short week of 4 days. So we're really not going to get back to normal trading until really the second week of January. And then we're talking about earnings season. Earnings season is going to start. And how good will the earnings be for the fourth quarter? So that's what we're going to be looking at coming up in the next couple of weeks. You know, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas coming up on Monday and happy holidays for any celebration that you might have. And enjoy your family. I mean, my wife and I, we never had children, but we do have 39 nieces and nephews, and we have great time being with them. So I want you to have a great time, too. Our time is up for the hour. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I, along with everybody at KPP, want to thank you today for listening. And again, we want to wish you the very best wishes for a happy holiday season. And we hope you will join us again next week here on Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.